The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
My friend, the Bible says that all liars shall be cast into a lake of fire. So don't lie, but tell the truth. Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This radio broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon this declaration of thy sacred word in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I shall continue with the ninth commandment, which states, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This commandment is telling us that God wants us to tell the truth. He does not want us to tell anything that is false. And in this book of Exodus here, at the beginning of the founding of a holy nation, God made a law that would prohibit all lying. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I share with you that lying is embedded in many a culture as a way of life. And so because everybody does it, it's kind of accepted, and hardly anybody gets disturbed about it except the righteous. So I mentioned we lie to cover something up. We lie to advance ourselves. We lie to make others feel good. We lie to be popular. We lie to get something we cannot get otherwise. We lie to avoid conflict, and etc. I said, for example, in this country, it's quite common that if somebody asks you, how are you, you respond by saying, just fine. Whether it's true or not doesn't seem to matter. That's just a typical way of responding in this land. But my friend, God does not like it when you say you're fine and you're not fine. Well, what should you say as a Christian if you're not feeling fine, if you're in a great spiritual warfare? Well, you can say, I'm trusting Jesus, which is what you would be doing, wouldn't you, in a spiritual battle. Or you can say, I'm looking to the Lord, the author and finisher of my faith. Or you can say, I'm glad that the one who saved me is able to deliver me and carry me through. Why tell a lie? Why, when you are asked how you are, don't you, as a Christian, bring in the name of your best friend on earth, this name of Jesus? And by this you testify to your relationship with him. And my friend, a door of opportunity just might open to tell these people a little more about your wonderful Savior. So don't lie. I ended up last week telling you that all liars will be cast into a lake of fire. A lot of people have told me, Pastor Schulze, nobody really knows for sure who's going to make it to heaven and who will not. In fact, Pastor Schulze, I believe once we get to heaven, we will see a lot of surprises. Well, dear friend, that's another lie. I believe that there will be very few surprises in heaven for anyone who has read the Bible carefully. You find out passage after passage where God makes it perfectly clear as to who will get to heaven and as to who will be kept out of heaven to suffer in the eternal flames. There's really very little wiggle room for guessing in all of these scriptures when it comes to our eternal destiny. God does not want us to be in the dark about where we're going once the angel of death is knocking on our door. Friend, God does not make this matter of salvation a matter of gambling. So I'm taking you now to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. It says there, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. It doesn't say some liars, it doesn't say only the sinner liars, but it means all liars, even the born-again liars, all liars, it says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, meaning hell. God hates liars. He hates liars, all liars, no matter whether they have had a religious experience or not, no matter whether they are going to church or not. God hates all liars because the devil is the father of all lies. And so when you say to your pastor, Pastor, I'll see you in church next Sunday, and you don't mean it, you're a liar. And if you don't repent, my friend, you'll end up in this awful lake of fire for such a lie. No liar will be found in heaven, not a single one. Or if you, as a church member, all of a sudden miss here and miss church there, and it goes on and on, and then you tell your pastor, well, pastor, this came up and that came up and this happened and that happened, and it goes on and on. Well, my friend, all along you know you're lying, because the truth is that you have backslid, and that's what you should tell your pastor. Pastor, I'm a backslider, and that's why I'm not here as I used to be here. Don't tell lies. It's a matter of life and death. God never told a lie. God never said anything he did not mean. God never said anything to make somebody else feel good. Jesus never told a lie. Jesus is the truth. We cannot walk with God when we tell lies. Getting more specific now with the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Notice the word against. God does not want us to be against our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Well, Jesus defines our neighbor in the story of the Good Samaritan. A neighbor is anyone who needs your help. As a matter of fact, a neighbor is potentially any one person. And the Bible says that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. These Ten Commandments, all of them, are like tips of icebergs. So in Exodus 20, we have the 10 iceberg tips floating around in an ocean of truth. But they tell us that 9/10 of an iceberg is underwater, and so when you read the rest of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you find the rest of the ice of these 10 icebergs. So you are to, so to speak, go on an underwater submarine tour to see what all these commandments mean, to see the immensity of the truth. So to find the rest of the body of thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, we go to find the rest of this iceberg in Deuteronomy chapter 19:15. There God says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the man between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and has testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. This is the bottom of the iceberg of the ninth commandment. Let me explain this passage to you a little more. Say, I make a false report about you. I accuse you. Well, I must find myself two or three others who agree with me that you've done something terribly wrong. And you know, when you find fault with somebody, you always find somebody who'll agree with you. So what God says of what I shall do about finding fault with you, accusing you, I shall appear before the Lord, then I shall appear before the priests, and then before the judges. And these people, the priests and the judges, will then do a thorough investigation. It's called a diligent inquisition, to see if my witness about your faults, about your evil, is correct. And then it says, if it is found to be that I was incorrect in judging, condemning, criticizing, and finding fault with you, if I was found to be incorrect, then the very punishment that I had wished in my heart upon you shall come upon me. And then, my friend, at this point, it says, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, and so on. So supposedly, I have been angry at you, I found fault with you, I've accused you falsely, and I'm found guilty. Then if I was hoping for you to die, then I shall die. If I was hoping for you to have lost your eye, then I shall lose my eye. If I was hoping for you to lose a tooth, then I shall lose a tooth, and somebody shall knock one of my teeth out, so to speak. If I was hoping for you to lose your hand or foot, then I shall lose my hand and foot. This is God speaking. Ouch! This is the way God treated false witnessing in his holy nation, Israel. Bring this down to a more realistic situation for us in our culture. So if I was hoping for you to get into a car accident and just die, that judgment will come upon me. If I was hoping for you to get cancer, then I'll get the cancer. If I was hoping for you to become crippled the rest of your life, then I will become crippled the rest of my life. If I was hoping for you to go into bankruptcy, then that bankruptcy will come upon me. That is what God says here. That is, my friend, what God says I would deserve and potentially receive if I were to accuse anyone falsely. Isn't that wonderful? Now you say, no, it's not wonderful. Yes, I say it is wonderful, and I happen to have the mic, and you don't. Isn't it wonderful how God tries to put such a scare on anybody ever accusing a neighbor or anybody ever finding fault with another person falsely, in order that that neighbor, that person, that everyone may be protected from evil, from slander, from fault-finding. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I'll tell you, this puts some teeth into that ninth commandment, doesn't it? And we still have the same God, don't we? After this, my dear friend, before you accuse somebody, find fault with somebody, you want to be extremely, extremely careful, because it might just cost you a lot more than you're willing to pay. So in closing on the ninth commandment, number one, do not bear false witness, don't lie, because all liars, no matter who they are, whether they be people who have a history of religious experiences or not, it doesn't matter, all liars will be cast into a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Number two, think twice before you accuse anybody of anything. Be sure you have the right judgment. And that is so difficult at times, especially when you have hurt feelings towards somebody. So is it any wonder, because of the danger of misjudgment, that Jesus said, judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Number three, we learn from the ninth commandment, my friend, that we as Christians must not let cultural norms dictate our moral behavior. This is a heavy weight upon our society today. More and more Americans each year base what they believe to be true on their feelings and on cultural norms, and not on the Word of God. Let me ask you the question, if it becomes a cultural norm for husbands to be unfaithful to their wives, in other words, if we come to the point where, quote, everybody, unquote, is doing it, committing adultery, does it mean that you should conform to that cultural thinking and also be unfaithful to your spouse? The answer is no. Or, as I said, if, quote, everybody, unquote, tells a lie once in a while, does it mean that you, as a Christian, should consider that acceptable and appropriate? The answer is no. We as Christians do not get our moral values from culture, but from God. And when God gets on the scene in any country, there will be a cultural and a moral revolution from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top. This happened in England during the Wesleyan revivals. God visited that country in the most marvelous way. God wants to do this kind of thing again, and this ought to be part of our prayers. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, Father, we thank thee for these truths that you have revealed in thy holy word, and we know we're not a holy nation such as Israel was, but we are called to be a holy people, pleasing to you, through whom you would be come in a new way, the light of the world. We magnify and bless your holy name. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, dear friend, for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. Tune in again to this station at this time next week. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.